Saturday in the Holy Week, the Easter Vigil, because there are seven readings today, it's about long. So we ask the reader to read the seven reading first. We only share the meaning of the seven reading. The theme of the reading, God's history of salvation. The Lord God whom we worship is the only God in this universe. The fact that He let His only Son, Jesus Christ, resurrect from the dead, prove this again. When we look back at the history of salvation, we learn that God created and controlled everything in this world. He chose the Israelites as His people to prepare for the Messiah to come. He is faithful with His promise to care for and to protect people, though they betrayed Him many times. He always finds a way to save people to the Exodus event and the liberation of the Israelites from the exile back to their country. But the most important fact of the history of salvation is to send the Messiah to incarnate in a human body to redeem people. The Messiah went to His passion, death, and resurrection. It is the center of the mystery of salvation which we are celebrating this life. The Church wants the faithful to look back at the history of salvation through the liturgy of the Word, beginning with the creation of the universe and humankind, and concluding with Christ's resurrection. If the situation permits, the Church encourages the faithful to read all seven readings. Where it isn't possible, the Church permits to read three readings, the Exodus, the meaning of baptism in the letter to the Romans, and Christ's resurrection according to St. Mark. The local churches usually read five readings, the Genesis account of creation, the passage of recreating the new heart and spirit of the prophet Ezekiel, and three required reading. Two reading from Isaiah about God's faithful love for His people, and what shall happen when the Messiah reign come. Added, if the time permit, to read all seven reading. The first reading, God created heaven and earth and everything in it. This account of creation is very important for those who want to take away the right to live from the unborn, the elder, and the terminate disease. People have no right to life. They are bestowed life to protect it. The food which God created are never run out, because the seed had potential to bear many other seeds. The birds of the air continuously give birth to their young. The fish of the sea have so many eggs. The animals have potential to beget many others. Therefore, God also commanded people to give birth and to fill up the earth. People can take away the right to life of anyone because of their lacking of food. The first day, God created light and darkness. The author said, in the beginning, when God created the heaven and the earth was formless wasteland, and darkness covered the abyss, while the mighty wind swept over the water. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw how good the light was. God then separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. That evening came, and morning followed the first day. The second day, God created the heaven. Then God said, let there be a dome in the middle of the water, to separate one body of water from the other. And so it happened. God made the dome, and it separated the water above the dome from the water below it. God called the dome the sky. Evening came, and morning followed the second day. The third day, God created the earth and all the plants. Then God said, let the water under the sky be gathered into a single basin, so that the dry land may appear. And so it happened. The water under the sky was gathered into its basin, and the dry land appeared. God called the dry land the earth, and the basin of the water he called the sea. God saw how good it was. Then God said, let the earth bring forth vegetation, every kind of plant that bears seed, and every kind of fruit tree on earth that bears fruit with its seed in it. And so it happened. The earth brought forth every kind of plant that bears seed, and every kind of fruit tree on earth that bears fruit with its seed in it. God saw how good it was. Evening came, and morning followed the third day. The fourth day, God created the sun, the moon, and all the stars of this universe. Then God said, let there be lights in the dome of the sky to separate day from night. Let them mark the fixed time, the days, the year, and serve as luminary in the dome of the sky to set light upon the earth. And so it happened. God made the two great lights, the greater one to govern the day, and the lesser one to govern the night. And he made the stars. God set them in the dome of the sky to set light upon the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate the night from the darkness. God saw how good it was. Evening came, and morning followed the fourth day. The fifth day, God created all birds of the air and fishes under the sea. Then God said, let the water teem with abundance of living creatures, and on earth let birds fly beneath the dome of the sky. And so it happened. God created the great sea monsters and all kinds of swimming creatures with the water teams and all kinds of the winged birds. God saw how good it was, and God blessed them, saying, "Be fertile, multiply, and fill the water of the sea, and let the birds multiply on the earth." Evening came and morning followed the fifth day. The sixth day, God created animal and human being on the same day. Animals. Then God said, "Let the earth bring forth all kinds of living creature, cattle, creeping thing, and wild animals of all kinds." And so it happened. God made all kinds of wild animals, all kinds of cattle, and all kinds of creeping thing of the earth. God saw how good it was. Human being. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and the cattle, and over all the wild animals, and all the creatures that crawl on the ground." God created man in his image. In the divine image, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, saying, "Be fertile and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and all the living things that move on the earth." God also said, "See, I give you every seed-bearing plant all over the earth and every tree that has seed-bearing fruit on it to be your food. And to all the animals of the land, all the birds of the air, and all the living creatures that crawl on the ground, I give all the green plants for food." And so it happened. God looked at everything he had made, and he found it very good. Evening came, and morning followed the sixth day. The seventh day God rested. Thus the heaven and the earth and all their array were completed. Since on the seventh day, God was finished with the work he had been doing. He rested on the seventh day from all the work he had undertaken. The second reading. The great power of the Lord has shown again the Egyptians. After Joseph passed away, the new king ascended to the throne. He didn't remember anything which Joseph had done to his country. He maltreated the Israelites and made them to be slaves for the Egyptians. The Israelites cried out to God, and he chose Moses and Aaron to liberate the Israelites from the Egyptians. God's plan of saving was revealed to Moses. The Lord said to Moses, "Why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to go forward. And you, lift up your staff, and with his hand outstretched over the sea, split the sea in two, that the Israelites may pass through it on dry land. But I will make the Egyptians so obstinate that they will go in after them. Then I will receive glory to Pharaoh and all his army, his chariots and charioteers. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord. When I receive glory to Pharaoh and his chariot and charioteers, the Israelites safely went to the Red Sea. To get out of Egypt, the Israelites must cross the Red Sea. How could they cross the sea without boats or ships, especially for such a crowd and animals? Nothing is impossible to God. He divided the sea into two one of water, and the Israelites could cross the sea by their feet. The author described this miracle as follows. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord swept the sea with a strong east wind throughout the night, and so turned it into dry land. When the water was divided, the Israelites marched into the midst of the sea on dry land, with the water like a wall to their right and to their left. The Egyptians followed in pursuit. All Pharaoh's horses and chariots still went after them right into the midst of the sea. God completely destroyed Pharaoh's whole army in the Red Sea. The reason why God must do that, because Pharaoh was so stubborn. God gave him many chances to withdraw so that his people should not be destroyed. But he was so persistent to follow his own desire. Therefore, God must act to let him know the result of his stubbornness. In the night watch, just before dawn, the Lord cut through the column of the fiery cloud upon the Egyptian folk a lance and threw it into a panic. And so he so clogged their chariot wheels that they could hardly ripe. With that, the Egyptians shouted the retreat before Israel, because the Lord were fighting for them against the Egyptians. Then the Lord told Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the water may flow back upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots and their charioteers." So Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at dawn, the sea flowed back to its normal depth. The Egyptians were fleeing ahead on toward the sea when the Lord hurled them into its midst. As the water flowed back, it covered the chariot and the charioteer of Pharaoh's whole army, which had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not a single one of them escaped. The Israelites saw God's power and believed in him. But the Israelites have marched on dry land to the midst of the sea, with the water lying one to their right and to their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel on that day from the power of the Egyptians. When Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the seashore and beheld the great power that the Lord has shown against the Egyptians, they feared the Lord and believed in him and in his servant Moses. Then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is gloriously triumphant. Hawks and chariots he had cast into the sea. The third reading. God faithfully loved people till the end. Third, God loved to Israel were compared as the love between husband and wife. There is no intimate love as strong as the love between a husband and his wife. The prophet Isaiah compared God's love for the Israelite as intimate as this love. God is seen as the husband. For he who has become your husband is the maker. His name is the Lord of hosts. The Redeemer is the Holy One of Israel, called God of all the earth. Israel is seen as the faithful, as an unfaithful wife. The Lord calls you back like a wife forsaken and drive in spirit, a wife married in youth and then cast off, says the God. For a brief moment, I abandon you, but with great tenderness, I will take you back. In an outburst of wrath, for a moment, I hid my face from you. But with enduring love, I take pity on you, say the Lord, the Redeemer. Second, God's love for people is an everlasting love. God punish and then have mercy. This is for me like the day of Noah, when I saw that the water of Noah should never again deluge the earth. So I have sworn not to be angry with you or to rebuke you. Though the mountain leave their place and the hill be shaken, my love shall never leave you, nor my covenant of peace be shaken, say the Lord, who have mercy on you. He shall let the people back to Jerusalem to reestablish it. O afflicted one, storm-battered and unconsoled, I lay your pavement in Canaan and your foundation in Sapphire. I will make your battlement of rubies, your gate of carbuncle, and all your one of precious stones. He shall protect the Israelite children. All your sons shall be taught by the Lord, and rest shall be the peace of your children. In justice shall be established far from the fear of oppression, where destruction cannot come near you. The fourth reading. What shall happen when the Messiah dawned? First, the prophecy about the sacrament of the Eucharist. The author said, all you who are thirsty, come to the water. You who have no money, come, receive grain and eat. Come without paying and without cost. Drink wine and milk. Why spend your money for what is not bread, your wages for what fail to satisfy? Heed me, and you shall eat well. You shall delight in rich fare. Come to me heedfully. Listen that you may have life. Second, the prophecy about the new covenant. The one from David near shall be a king to govern people. Third, the new covenant is the lasting covenant. I will renew with you the everlasting covenant. The benefits assured to David. And I make him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of nations. So shall you summon a nation you knew not, and nations that knew you not shall run to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel who has glorified you. The new king shall govern all nations, not only Israel. Second, Israel Isaiah advised people to return to God. He said, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call him while he is near. Let the scoundrel forsake his way, and the wicked man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord for mercy, to our God who is generous in forgiving. Third, the difference between God and man. First, in thought and in way, Isaiah said, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, say the Lord. As high as the heaven are above the earth, so high are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts above your thoughts. Second, the effect of God's word. For just as from the heaven, the rain and snow come down and do not return there till they have watered the earth, making it fertile and fruitful, giving seed to him who sows and bread to him who eats. So shall my word be that good forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but shall do my will, achieving the end for which I sent it. The fifth reading. I shall give you a new heart and put a new spirit in your mind. Third, Israel defiled both their ancestors and the exiled lands. The prophet Ezekiel and the Israelites must painfully live on exile because they sinned against God. During the exile, God continuously called them to repent and to return to God, but they didn't listen. They continue to defame God's name and to defile also the exiled land. Ezekiel reported to the Israelites what God said to him. Thus the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, when the house of Israel lived in their land, they defiled it by their conduct. And did. In my sight, their conduct was like the defilement of a matured woman. Therefore, I poured out my fury upon them, because of the blood which they poured out on the ground, and because they defiled it with idols. I scattered them among the nations, dispersing them over foreign lands according to their conduct and their deeds. I judged them. But when they came among the nation, wherever they came, they served to profane my holy name, because it was said to them, these are the people of the Lord, that they had to leave their land. So I have relented because of my holy name, which the house of Israel profaned among the nations where they came. Second, God shall purify people due to his name, not because of the Israelite good. God commanded the prophet to say the word to the Israelite. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus say the Lord God, not for your sake do I act, house of Israel, but for the sake of my holy name, which you profaned among the nations to which you came. I will remove the holiness of my great name, profaned among the nations in whose midst you have profaned it. Let the nations shall know that I am the Lord, say the Lord God, when in their sight I rope my holiness to you. God shall do three things for the Israelite. First, God shall let people come back to their country. For I will take you away from among the nations, gather you from all the foreign land, and bring you back to your land. Second, God shall purify his people. He will sprinkle clean water upon you to cleanse you from all your impurities, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. I will give you a new heart and place a new spirit within you, taking from your body your stony hearts and giving you natural hearts. I will put my spirit within you and make you live by my statutes, carefully to observe my decrees. Third, God shall reestablish his relationship with Israel. You shall live in the land I gave your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God. The sixth reading. If we die with Christ, we shall be resurrected with him. Third, the meaning of baptism. Saint Paul emphasized two dimensions of the sacrament of baptism. First, the descending dimension is to immerse in Christ's death. Are you unaware that we who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were indeed buried with him through the baptism into death. Second, the ascending dimension is to gloriously resurrect with him, so that just as Jesus was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might live in the newness of life. For if we have grown into union with him to a death like his, we shall also be united with him in the resurrection. Second, how to live the promises of the sacrament of baptism. Third, but forfeit our own self and sinful life. We know that our old self was crucified with him, so that our sinful body might be done away with, that we might no longer be in slavery to sin, for a dead person has been absolved from sin. Second, but put on Christ and live a new life in God. This life in the life of virtue and grace. If then we have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. We know Christ raised from the dead, died no more, and death no longer have power over him. After his death, he died to sin once and for all. After his life, he lived for God. Consequently, you must too think of yourself as being dead to sin and living for God in Christ Jesus. 7. The Gospel. He raised up and was no longer here. 3. Human thinking. The women witnessed Jesus dead on the cross and his burial in the tomb. When they buried Jesus' body, they didn't anoint Jesus' body because it was the Sabbath. They eagerly waited for the next morning to anoint Jesus. The tradition believes it is the same for those who have no one to anoint for. Preparing to anoint Jesus' body. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdala, Mary the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. Very early when the sun had risen, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb. They worried of moving the tomb stone. All apostles ran away because they were afraid of the Jews. The women can easily go back and forth because the Jews had little regard for women. They were worried about rolling the stone out of Jesus' tomb. They were saying to one another, "Who will roll back the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" When they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled back. It was a very large stone. 2. The resurrected news. The women didn't understand what it means, resurrected from the dead, because according to Jewish tradition, have a vague idea about the life after that. They didn't think Jesus had been resurrected from the dead. The angel explanation. On entering the tomb, they saw a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in a white robe, and they were utterly amazed. He said to them, "Do not be amazed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, the crucified. He had been raised. He is not here. Behold, the place where they laid him." They didn't see Jesus' body, but a young man sitting there did make them even more afraid. How could they believe in his word? They didn't dare to ask. They might think, as Mary Magdala in John's account, this man might steal his body. The apostle shall be seen Jesus in Galilee. The angel continued, "But go and tell his disciple and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he told you." Before the Passion, Jesus foretold that he shall go to Galilee before them, and he hoped to see them there. The women's reaction. Then they went out and fled from the tomb, seized with trembling and bewilderment. They said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Application in life. The God we worship is the true God. He had the power to create everything, to liberate people from all dangers, and faithfully love us till the end. God created people with a purpose, which is for them to enjoy eternal happiness with Him after their life on earth. Since Jesus had died and gloriously resurrected, if we die with Him, we shall also gloriously resurrect with Him. We should try to reach our ultimate end, which is the eternal life with God in heaven. Amen. Happy Easter.